Hey guys, my name is Steve Olson, and Cage Talk is back. It's been a long hiatus, just getting done with, you know, finishing up college and taking care of life, but it's good to be back. Look out for a show every Monday, and we'll go from there and hopefully have this be a weekly thing again. So there's been a lot of news in the last week and week and a half. The big story, of course, it's a week late, but Khabib versus Conor, great fight. Just to touch on something before we get to the highlights, Chael Sonnen, on his podcast, he just kind of announced that, you know, everybody kind of has fallen for the same old selling point, get people to watch, of the striker versus a wrestler, but the wrestler, you know, like most of the time wins. And he was right again. He gave points and counterpoints to both sides, but I was honestly really excited for the fight. It was good to see Khabib come out there and just use his wrestling to dominate him. That's always been Achilles' heel of Conor McGregor. Grappling, wrestling, submissions. All of his losses have been by submission. And then Khabib, you know, everybody likes to say he's just a wrestler, but he is really, really well-rounded. Almost equal amounts of submissions and knockouts and decisions. His wrestling was just too much. Probably the best moment of the fight was Conor McGregor thought that he was going to take him down. He hit him with that right in the second round, but it was just, from my standpoint, mostly a domination of just Khabib just dominating Conor the whole fight. Some people said maybe the third round, you know, Conor might have won, but I really didn't agree with that. It was a really nice transition after he did rock him in the second round, though, is that he backed around the cage and they kind of started throwing back and forth, and then he just picked him up and slammed him, and you could hear the crowd get excited. And then that fourth round, during the fight, though, he was getting frustrated. Conor was grabbing the hands, grabbing the fence, putting his foot in the fence, and so it was just all those different things was frustrating Conor. And he was talking to him. There's actually footage of him saying, "Oh, so you want to talk now? Let's talk." And then Conor saying it's just business. People kind of going back and forth. I thought it was just, you know, him, like, you know, how Khabib was trying to say he was trying to cheat. But the fourth round came, and it looked like Conor was actually doing pretty good, you know, off of his back. But he just kind of dragged him into it, and then it wasn't really like a rear naked choke. It was more like a neck crank, but it was his fourth submission loss. And with that, Conor did drop to 21-4. And Khabib, again, just increased his record to an impressive 27-0. The only other guy to really do that was another Sambo guy, and Fedor Emelianenko. But what everybody is really talking about is after the fight, it looked like Khabib, when you first saw it, you're like, okay, what's going on? It looked like he jumped just at his corner, but it turned out later to be Dylan Danis. And then later, people thought that it was his team that struck first, but Conor had punched at either his brother or one of his training partners, and then so a couple of Khabib's guys went in there. They started fighting with more of the people, and then they started beating up on Conor, too. But honestly, I mean, after the bus incident and him kind of running his mouth about, you know, it's just a different culture, you know, like that culture is very different with their religion and their culture and talking about family. You can say it's all in jest, but I think, you know, Conor kind of crossed the line, and you can see, like, he's pretty disappointed that he lost. Me looked up at him, and then in different interviews it said that he was not too happy about being rocked by that right hand. But overall, they did withhold his purse. and they're all having a hearing scheduled for the 24th. They did give Connor his purse, but they said they shouldn't have after reviewing the tape that Connor did throw the first punch at actually Khabib's cornerman. I don't think that's really fair to Khabib. Not to put any blame on Dana White at the UFC, but they were promoting this within the promo of him throwing a dolly at the bus Connor, and then it's like a little bit of a double standard, and then they wouldn't give Khabib the belt. So you can understand why Khabib was mad. They did give him the belt backstage, and he did post with a picture outside by Dana's car saying that he would have smashed his car if he would have not given him the belt. And then just to top it off, the Irish just had a bad night. Like, there's like 2 or 3 different videos of like Irish fans trying to fight people just getting like knocked out. So it did get pretty bad. There's some more footage of in the crowd, mostly down by the ground level. There's a bunch of police that went in there, and even Dana said that if you looked at it, they had tons of, you know, like Metro police. They had tons of guards, you know, security guards there to try to break it up. But no one foresaw, you know, Khabib, who is, you know, kind of like Fedor Malenko, that you really can't, you know, get him riled up. And I'm not sure what it was about Dylan Dennis. Some people were trying to speculate that maybe it's because he wore the t-shirt in Brazil when he was fighting Dos Anjos, of if actually sambo is easy, it'd actually be called jiu-jitsu. It's just a different style of fighting. Like, it's you gotta pick what you like. I've trained a little in jiu-jitsu and judo, and then, you know, did a little wrestling, but it's like jiu-jitsu is more defensive. I've always found it to be more people pulling your guard. Judo is probably my favorite martial art. Just the throws, and it actually does have a ground game that most people, you know, like, look over. But again, it just shows, you know, that wrestling is the dominant force. And personally, I wish I'd like to find a gym that trains more wrestling, or catch wrestling, or sambo. It's just really hard. There's only like one gym in Portland, and then another gym, Team Quest, had sambo, but they did it. But one guy was trying to explain what sambo was. It's to put it in really simple terms, it's kind of like catch wrestling and judo combined, but that's really, really simple term. It's much more than that, and they take a lot from judo, and they have a lot better arm bar and stuff. They train more, like, it's a lot more solid, and that's what a sambo practitioner was saying. It's a lot more solid arm bar than in judo, but that was just his opinion. But Conor says he wants a rematch. I don't see how that is really warranted. That might not even happen, but he was dominated. I don't think he really deserves one. There's a couple of dream fights on the table. Some rumors are going around. GSP, another guy that's undefeated, an American wrestler, Ben Askren. But he fights at 170, but that would be a really good fight. He's never been defeated. He had one no contest, but that was because of eye poke. But he's won all 18 of his fights. I personally would like to see, they tried it like, I think it's 4 to 5 times between Tony Ferguson and Khabib. I would love to see that fight. Tony Ferguson looked amazing on fight night, and I wish that fight would have went on a little longer. It was sad to see it in like that with Anthony Pettis with a broken hand, because I thought that Anthony Pettis was doing really good. He had rocked Ferguson a couple times, and it was such an amazing fight. Tony Ferguson came out just like an animal, but I'm not sure who would have won that if Anthony Pettis, like, he wouldn't have broke his hand. Some people kind of saying, like, poo-pooing it, but, like, that's another rematch I'd like to see in the future. You know, whoever wins the championship, maybe they can have, you know, maybe Ferguson face Pettis again, because Pettis looked like his old self. It was great to see Pettis look that good, and then kind of come back. But, I really don't, No, I'd like to see Ferguson versus Khabib. Hopefully they don't suspend him too much. You know, they kind of went lightly after Conor, so hopefully they kind of show him the same thing. But that was such an exciting fight. And then Derek Lewis, the Volkov was just lighting him up for the first two rounds, and he was losing. His coaches even said that. It was like some movie, like the final second of the fight, he dropped him and knocked him out. It actually says on the official thing, there's like 4:59 or something of the third round, so he pulled it out. And then after that, he kind of gave a funny shout out to Donald Trump, saying that Donald Trump told him to, you know, like knock that Russian out. But yeah, I would have liked to see a rematch between Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier, but it looks like Derek Lewis of Black Beast is going to get to fight against Daniel Cormier for the heavyweight title. I think that's a pretty good fight, but I think that Daniel Cormier is going to have the edge, just again, wrestling versus a striker. You know, Derek Lewis can end the fight at any time, but I just don't think, like you said, he wasn't ready. He doesn't have the cardio, and he does have the power, but at heavyweight, Daniel Cormier is a different animal. He has power. He can pick, you know, he doesn't have that weight cut, so he can just keep his strength, his cardio, and everything in it. At a heavyweight, he's a different animal. One thing I was sad to hear, they're stripping him of his light heavyweight title, Cormier. So, but there is a little good news in that too, that doesn't really matter if you hate him or not, but John Jones is coming back, and he's going to be fighting for the light heavyweight title, and Alexander Gustafsson is going to be fighting him for the rematch. I personally thought that actually Alexander won that fight, but I guess the judges didn't think so, but that was probably one of the toughest fights that John Jones has ever had. And he said that, you know, at the end, he said, I wanted a dogfight, and I got one. But I don't know who's going to win this fight. John Jones might have a little ring rust, but he's an amazing athlete. I just don't know how's that going to affect him being off. But I almost think that Alexander might win this one, and then they might have a trilogy fight. I think that's what a lot of people like to see, make it exciting at light heavyweight again, and hopefully get some good fights in there. And I don't think that Daniel Cormier is going to come back down to light heavyweight. I just think that you see how good he is, like at heavyweight, and like one of the most amazing videos is I think it was Strike Force, but like he picked up Josh Barnett and tossed him like a child. Josh Barnett is a world-class grappler. You know, he tapped out Dean Lister in submission wrestling. He's a really good catch wrestler, but it was just amazing. I think Daniel Cormier, that's where he should stay. And then also big news coming out of the UFC, there is Eddie Alvarez. He looks to be moving on from the UFC. You know, he was a champion in his division. So one championship. It looks like they are signing him. That's a pretty big deal for them. Having a former UFC champion, you know, to add to their roster. I think one of my favorite fights with him in the UFC was Justin Gauthier and him, because you saw, you know, the former Bellator champ and the former you know, the World Series of Fighting. You know, they changed their name now to like Professional Fight League, but that was just cool to see how they would do. And I always thought it would have been a good idea to, you know, combine the two when there's World Series of Fighting and Bellator. But John Finch is coming over to Bellator, so that should be pretty exciting. And so on Friday and Saturday we had two events from Bellator. They finalized their heavyweight tournament. Friday night, on some of the lower fight cards, not the main event, Lorzen Larkin, I was really good to see him win his fight. He beat like a Ion Pasco, and it was just a really good fight to see him just come back. He's always been one of my favorite fighters to watch fight, and it's good to just see him, you know, get a win, and just to kind of, you know, he hasn't looked the best in Bellator. Lost a couple of fights that I thought he was going to win, so it's good to see him, you know, win again, and hopefully kind of get that mojo back where he can start, you know, winning fights and stopping people. And then Sergey Kakhatov, he stopped Big Country Roy Nelson within the first round. Sorry, that was the second left in the round one. That was that one. But there was a little controversy. I mean, he kneed Big Country when he was on the ground, so Big Country wasn't very happy about that. But Sergey has really heavy hands, and he just backed him in the cage and knee after knee, and then just dropped him and fell at his face. But yeah, that guy's dangerous. That's another guy to look out for in the heavyweight. So, you know, maybe he'll be one of the future opponents for the new heavyweight champ. In the main event, Ryan Bader looked phenomenal. He dominated Matt Matreone, just with his, like, you know, superb wrestling. And then he never had to really worry about, you know, getting hit by Matt. A lot of people were saying, you know, if Matt can hit him, you know, he can win this. But, like, I really didn't see where Matt's done this, where Matt could really hurt him. He spent the most time on his back, and Bader just was all over him. So I was really impressed with the way Bader fought, and it's really fun to watch Matt. He has really good striking, but I just don't think that he hasn't been in it as long as Bader, and I just wouldn't have liked him, you know, going to the finals. And then on Saturday night, they had the other half of the heavyweight tournament. It was actually a pretty good card. Alexander Shevchenko, you know, he suffered another defeat. He kind of seems to be slipping in the Bellator, the middleweight title picture, and I don't know. I just think he's kind of slipping out of everything. One guy that really impressed me was Chet Congo, and he stopped Timothy Johnson in quick fashion in the first round. It was a minute and 8 seconds, but I think that whoever wins the heavyweight tournament, I think they should make the first title defense against Chet Congo. He's just seems to be enjoying a career, you know, like a resurgence, and he looks like he's going to be tough to beat. Really good striking, and you know, like Matt Matreone, he actually stopped Fedor Emelianenko. I like to see that rematch. It's kind of weird they both knocked each other down, but Chet Congo could stop Fedor Emelianenko if he wins. And then on the co-main event, Benson Henderson beat Sato Saad by decision. It just seemed like classic Benson Henderson, using wrestling aggression and striking. He too kind of seemed to be in limbo in his division, but it was just good to see him kind of return to the form, and I hope he just keeps on getting good fights and makes his way back to the top. The main event with Fedor Emelianenko and Chael Sonnen, it was, you know, billed as a typical Russian versus American. Sonnen, you know, with his patented, you know, trash talking, you know, the American gangster from the mean streets to West Lynn. When I'm from Oregon, but West Lynn is a pretty, you know, uppity rich people's place, so it's kind of funny to always hear him say that, you know, like the mean streets of West Lynn. West Lynn is one of the most well-to-do neighborhoods, you know, that's not a, you know, downtown Portland. But he was just using his trash talk, you know, saying judo and sambo sucks. But it's kind of funny to hear that. I don't think he really believes that. I've seen videos at, of him training at, like, Portland Judo when they used to have, like, sambo classes, but I guess they don't do that anymore. But, you know, and he was there and being respectful, but it's just patented talking. But Fedor Emelianenko was too, it was just too much on the feet for him. It just seemed like almost everything he threw that he hit Sonnen with, he was just hurting him with. And then on the ground, Chael did get his back, but he was really having trouble taking him down, and then Fedjim Lenker just kind of bucked him off, but he was hurting him and just kind of almost like a trip and tossed him. Fedjim Lenker just looked better in every facet of the game. His grappling, his takedown defense, his trips, just throwing Chael Sonnen and hurting him left and right. And then it just his underrated ground game. I just think I just wish there's more opportunities for like Sambo here, and then more opportunities for people that didn't practice sport judo, but the traditional judo on the ground that I've seen firsthand. And there's kind of a new emergence of judo that they're kind of bringing back tournaments and trying to be more open for ground grappling. And that's kind of the same in Sambo. They have a freestyle and a combat, and then like a sports Sambo. So maybe just trying to get different options for somebody. I'm not talking, you know, bad about a jiu-jitsu, but something that's more offensive than defensive, I think, would be nice. But again, that just goes back to his underrated ground game, being able to submit people. He looked much better on the ground than Sonnen, in my opinion. Some people may disagree, but then Sonnen said in his interview, they gave him a birthday cake. I don't know if it was birthday or not, with, you know, like the Ariano lolly, but I'm not sure if it was just like what was going on. But after the fight, he was being respectful and, saying that he was just kind of waiting. He said he didn't question the stoppage, but he was just kind of waiting on, the ref to kind of stand him up, because he thought he was. But Fedjim Lenker was really, he had hurt him, and then just to ground and pound stop the fight. He's always been known for his ground and pounds and his almost impressive submissions that he seems to pull out on people that you don't think he could pull off. But and then backstage was kind of cool, you know, just showing that same respect. Fedjim Lenker gave him a shirt, there's a little video of it, and like a sweatshirt, so that was kind of cool. And just to see, but you know, it's just a lot of his talk, and like Connor, you know, but it's just to kind of see, it's kind of, you know, funny, you know, backstage, you know, they act different. But with the main event now, it's set, with the heavyweight tournament final will be Bader versus Fedjim Lenker. I like how Bader came and, you know, kind of took over the, you know, division at light heavyweight. I just think Fedjim Lenker has too much of, his hands are just too heavy for Bader. Bader, you know, he lost to Tito Ortiz when Tito Ortiz, I think, had lost like 5 in a row. I just don't think he's big enough. He's had to add on pounds, and Fedjim Lenker has always fought at that weight class. He could surprise, but against the fight, you know, he beat Phil Davis. I honestly thought that Phil Davis was going to beat him, but Bader has looked good. I just don't think he has the tools. People can say his wrestling's really good, but you just got to go back to Fedjim Lenker's underrated ground game. That just Sambo and Judo that people just don't understand is actually really efficient on the ground. His trips and throws are, you know, just picture perfect. And just to see him stop Chael Sonnen's takedown, he's kind of thrown. Honestly, I don't know who would have won, if it would have been Ryan Bader or Chael Sonnen. I think Bader seems to be the better athlete, so I think Bader would have won that. But against Fedjim, even though he's getting old and I feel he's out of his prime, not looking the same as he did in Pride, I just think that he is the favorite, and Bader is a very, very very, very big underdog here. If he wins, I'll be happy for him. He'll be, you know, a 2-division champ, but I just don't see him happening. I just don't see it happening. I don't think he has the hands to stop Fedjim Lenker, but he could. You know, Fedjim Lenker seems to, he's always been kind of, you know, he's always been hit, but he just seems like he's getting dropped more now. So hopefully Fedjim Lenker will fight a couple more times and, you know, we can see him ride off onto the sunset. He can get that other title, and then maybe they'll kind of get him back. I just wish he would have never came back, because he just didn't look like himself. But Strikeforce. But I have to take the overall favorite. You know, if I had a bet, I'd say it'd be by submission. Probably the third round against Bader. You know, probably stun him and submit him. Or if Bader puts him on his back, you have to watch out for the really, really underrated armbar and the throws and the tosses. But I don't see any way that Bader can win. Thank you guys for listening. I'll be back every Monday, so look out. And look out, we're going to try to get a website going up for you guys and stories and highlights. And hope you guys stay tuned and we can expand this and grow it. Thank you guys. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.